I'd like to start with a verse over in Romans, the 11th chapter and the 33rd verse. This is what's available to us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The depth of the riches that are available for us. You know, we were talking about how this morning Sister Maxine was talking about, you know, one of the ways the enemy would like to get us is in our mind, occupying our mind. You remember the verse she gave, my soul is continually in my hands. I need to guard it. And what am I guarding? One of the things I'm guarding is my mind and what I allow to come into it. And I was thinking of a verse. It was used last week. One thing, I've got something I desire of the Lord. You know, there are people that have a lot of desires, and there are a lot of things that can cause, we heard this morning about distractions, that can cause me to fail to focus on the one thing that I desire, and that's what I'm going to seek after. And we're at the beginning of the year. We've started out with a fresh calendar. I always love that, thinking, you know what, this one is fresh and clean. I want to put things into my life that will help me to be successful this year spiritually. And here's something I would like to, one thing I want to focus on. Paul said, I want to know him. Now, you know, that sounds like, well, if a person's saved, they know him. But this verse says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. What more is out there available for us to be able to tap into about getting a picture of who God is? And I would like for us to think about God is love. Now, you know, I almost in the past have not wanted to preach too much about that, because that's what the world uses all the time in the religious world. He loves you so much that you can just repent of your sins, but you continue in them still, and his love covers all that. You know, we sing a song, Sinner, See the Love of God. Yes. You know, it's the love of God that calls after a sinner. But I've thought about this. There almost needs to be another verse in that song. Christian, see the love of God. Well, do we not? But I think I can do it more. I think I can see God's love more around me, but I'm going to have to dump out some other things. And I'm not talking about sinful things. We can just have things that occupy our mind and are distractions, like we heard this morning. I want to focus, but I can have distractions that take me in other directions. But I want to be able to see, as a Christian, I want to be able to see the love of God. Have you ever had trouble in your life? And a voice speaks to you, and it says, if God loved you, you wouldn't have these kind of troubles come to you. I think that happens to everybody, and we know quickly where it comes from. You remember Satan used it even on Jesus himself, that little word, if. Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then you cause these things to happen. You know, the devil would like to bring to us in our times of trouble, if God loved you, he wouldn't cause these things to happen. He would not allow these things to happen. Well, I want to be able from my heart, just not from my head, but from my heart, to be able to say, no matter what's happening, I know God loves me. I want to be able to have that. And when I start trying to focus on the love of God, another verse tries to pop in, and it says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. If we just preach a message on love, the love of God, is it that we're saying that's all there is to God? He's just all love. No, it's just that, you know, Sister Maxine was talking about long messages. We would not be able to preach a message long enough that would take all the pieces and put them together of God's love, and we end up with the severity of God when a person chooses not to follow him. But I'm thinking in these afternoon services, it might would be good for us. I know I want to. I want to know him better. And one of the ways for me to do that is start out with who he is. God is love. No matter how the religious world overuses it, God still is love. If he wasn't, none of us would be able to be saved today. So both of those are a part of who God is, goodness and severity. I think there'll be a time for us to study the severity of God, but today I would like to focus on being able to recognize God's love for us. So where do I go to be able to get a glimpse of God's love? Now, immediately we think about John 3:16, and that is probably the climax of God's love for man. But today I would like for us to look at some other places that we can be able to recognize God's love. Where do I get a glimpse of it? I think about over in John 14 when he told us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you to myself. And you know, I recognize with that, that's God's love, that he has prepared a place for those who are following him. But is that where it begins? He prepared a place for us. You know what? I can see God's love in Genesis 1. When he first spoke things into existence, you know what? I believe that in those acts of speaking this into existence, and we see nature today as a result of the speaking that he gave, I think he had a thought in his mind, I'm doing this for man. I want to show him how much I love him. Because you know what? He did not have to do that for us to exist. He could have caused the earth to look like the moon, and you could exist by eating moon rocks or whatever. He could have caused us to have an existence here, but instead, I really believe it was his love for both Christian and sinner. Every morning when we get up and we see a sunrise, springtime, when you see a flower pop up and you look at the detail of it. You know, the devil would like for us to say, don't see much of God's love for you. Look at the troubles you're in. But I want to be able to say, oh no, I see God's love for me all around me. Just in nature itself is what he has done for us. Genesis 1 is kind of like John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know what? He was preparing a place for mankind when he spoke all these things in existence that we get to enjoy. And then he made Adam and Eve. And I believe I would like to be able to recognize God, because here's some things that can happen. There's a verse that says, it's in Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, a person that is not living for God, they can go through this and they can see all the beauties of nature and never associate it with God. But here's another verse for us in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. You know, I think that goes more than just with our eyes. We'll see him at the end of time. We'll see him all around us and his love that he showed for us. The temperatures that we have in January, I go to him and say, I see your love for us. Now, you know what? Tomorrow, if it's 2 degrees again, that's okay. We can still be able to see and recognize his love for us. So then, for two people, he showed his love again. The Garden of Eden. You know what? It was intended to be no more benefit, but for two people. There were only two people here. And it says in Genesis 2, it says the Lord God himself planted a garden Can you imagine that? The God that spoke everything into existence. Now he's going to take a little plot of land on all that he spoke into existence, and I'm going to make it even more special. We sometimes will get a packet of seed that we want to plant, and we plant it, and maybe it's good seed, and maybe it's bad seed. But I can just see God himself planting a garden. There was no bad seed. He also made that garden where there's a river flowing through it. Didn't have to have a sprinkler system. Also, he made it to where it was a perfect temperature, night and day. What a mighty God. We sang that song a while ago. What a mighty God we serve. And I'm thinking it's so easy to get so caught up, and it's not sinful things. It's just things that can occupy our mind throughout the day. And I end my day without having spent very much time seeing the love of God in just the things around us. You know what? Just to go to Walmart and go down through the fruit section. Brother Leslie is one of the best ones that I can think of for seeing the love of God in things around like that. But you just see the detail of color that God gave us in fruit and vegetables and those kind of things. These are all just temporal things. But the variety of landscape that he made, some of it we just say it's not inhabitable. A desert place that looks like this is one waste of land right here, but God made it. Maybe for us to be able to see the variety that he gave us the mountains to be able to enjoy, and he gave us these other things. And when I look at that, what's the song that comes to us? Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. You know, do I see all that? Blessed are the pure in heart. They see God in all the things that's happening around us. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then it says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and I hear the brook and I feel the gentle breeze, does it make me think about God? You know, many people, it does not. I am thankful that I can be able to see God's love for us in the things that he gave us around us. Here's another one where I see God's love. It's in Matthew 5 and 45. And I think it would be good, and as wickedness starts abounding around us, to think about this verse. It tells me the love of God. He maketh his sun to rise on just the good folks. No. It makes him to rise on the evil and on the good. You know, they can pass a law tomorrow that rejects God even more in our system. And you know what? Lord willing, the sun's going to come back up for everybody to be able to enjoy together. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And then we will find, and we won't talk about it much today, but we will find that he wants his love to flow into us, and then we allow it to flow out to others. In other words, someone who does not really seem to deserve it, God still allows the sun to rise for them to be able to enjoy. He sends the rain for them to be able to enjoy. And there is another place where God shows his love. You know, sometimes I want to think about God's love as being all positive things in my life. It's not bad things that come into my life that show me God's love, but it's the good things. Well, my parents tried to follow God's example in this one. I don't know if your parents did this to you, but after giving me a good spanking, they would say, I'm doing this. Why? Because I love you. And I was not feeling the love. But you know what? they had a goal in mind. They didn't see it for just that one time of reproving. They saw it that this is a class that we're in. While this child is living in my home, I'm going to try to mold them to where when they leave, they will be able to make right decisions. And so they would tell me that. And then you know what? I found out God was the same way. Let's take a look over in Hebrews. Hebrews 12 and 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now that's quite a verse right there. In other words, he loves me enough to be able to send me some correction. And do I enjoy it? Look down here at the 11th verse. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It was sure that way when mom and dad was administering it. And it can be the same way when God's working on us. But look at the rest of that verse. Nevertheless, afterward, something's going to, a result. God has enough love for us that he does what he trained my parents to do. I've got a goal in mind that I'm going to work toward. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I thought about this exercised word. Mom and Dad and I both got exercise when it was being administered. Me with hopping around and them with administering it. This says it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. You know what? There's an exercise that God wants to do with us as he's trying to point us in the right direction. How are we chastening? It says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, there's a verse that says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given for a reason. And you know, part of that reason is for reproof. And part of that reason is for correction and righteousness. And you know what? That is God's love to be able to show that to me. Messages being preached, and it hits me that I've got some adjustment that I need to make in my life. You know what? That's as much God's love to me as when he spoke this world into existence. And he gives me nature to be able to enjoy. It's more so because it helps to determine my eternal destiny. So with that one, says all scripture has a purpose. Some of it is to reprove me, to be able to show me, Dan, you're headed down the wrong road. It may be, Dan, you're thinking the wrong way. You know that song that we sing, What Would Jesus Do? You know, sometimes the reproof is for him to come to us and let us know, you know what, how you said it, what you said isn't the way I would have done it. And it's to be able to correct me. So I want to be able to take those. And you know what, I want to walk away from that and say, you know what, that's as much God's love being shown to me as all the good things that he puts into my life. There is a song that says, and in mercy, his wisdom, the flames may have sent, that my soul greater woe might be spared. You know what? It'll be his mercy that he sends something to correct me now instead of leaving it and letting me meet it at eternity and be lost in the end. So he sends some things. We heard last week about what's his mission. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, says he is not willing that any would perish. So whatever he does to try to help any of us make heaven our home will be his love and his mercy that's extended to us. There's a song that says, though he may send some affliction, it's just going to make me long for home. For in love and not in anger, All of his chastening is going to come. He has a plan for us to be able to make heaven our home. So I've got a question. When trouble comes into your life, should you always just take a look at it and say, you know what, I must be doing something wrong? Was that the reason that Job had trouble come into his life? God himself witnessed of Job that he was a perfect and an upright man, and trouble came into his life. It was a test that was being given to him. So I think what we do when trouble comes, it's good for us to search. It's good for us to ask the Lord, what's the purpose that you have sent this or allowed this to come? Is there something that you want to adjust in me? And if not, to realize, you know what? This is not chastening from the Lord. This is a time of testing. You remember when Abraham, when the Lord came to him and said, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, Isaac. You know, we get to read that so quick, it takes just a few seconds to read that. But you know what? That was a son that he had prayed for a long time. And now here comes this request that is given to him. Another testing time. There was a little bit of chastening that came to Job. You know, he went through the first two chapters, we say, with flying colors. When he lost his wealth, he said, the Lord gave it, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the right thing to say when I got the love of God in my heart. Second chapter, he ended it with telling his wife, what should we not receive the good and then also receive the bad? And he still didn't sin with his lips. But you know what? His trouble kept on going. It doesn't say how long it kept going, but it went on for a lot of chapters until Job started questioning God himself. And there came, I consider it a little bit of chastening. I believe I would feel chastened if the Lord gave this to me. In the 38th chapter, God himself now is giving Job some audience. And he says, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? Who is trying to tell me how I should be doing things and they can't see into tomorrow? And then God told Job, gird up your loins. Answer me, where were you? Where wast thou when I made all these things that I made? You know, we can kind of think about that ourselves. When we want to tell God, God, this is how you need to be doing business for me. And just kind of in our mind, let's think about God calling us aside and say, gird up your loins now and talk to me. Where were you when I created all these things? And then we would do what Job did. Job put his hand over his mouth, said, I don't have anything else to say. For us to be able to recognize, you know what? God has a plan for us. It's his love that sends some things our way. Some of those things may be to change me. Some of those things may be to just be an example to the others around us. May we be faithful. What was Jeremiah recognized to be? That's one sad time that he lived in. And we understand him to be the weeping prophet. All the messages, he hardly had a message from the Lord that was a pleasant one. Because Israel, the children of God, were headed in the wrong direction. All of the people that went into captivity, were they doing it because they were punished for their doings? You know what? That's where Daniel went. That's where the three Hebrew children went. Can we say that was God's love being shown? You know what? That was God's love being shown to Nebuchadnezzar, that he sent somebody down there to be able to give him some instruction. If Daniel had not been there, would Nebuchadnezzar have finished his life out being a proud man and say, look at what I've been able to do? But instead, God used someone. And is it possible that he wants to do the same thing sometime for us? So what I want to do out in the future, I want to recognize God's love can give me a lot of positive things in my life. But his love also sometimes will allow trouble to come into my life for me or for someone else. But he still loves me. And anytime Satan wants to come back and say, if God loved you, he would not allow these things to happen. Just let it always be in the top of our mind. God loves me. He is just allowing some things. Remember Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I looked over on this side. I looked on this side everywhere that I used to be able to recognize God to be, and I don't feel him anymore. But he knows the way I take. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. What about Paul's trouble? Was it sent to him for correction? You know, he had a problem come into his life that he would love to have it gone. It was a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. And he would do the same thing that I would do. He was praying for it to be taken away. You know, it seemed like it would have been God's love to say, you know what, Paul, you've been working hard for me. I'm going to do this for you. Instead, what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. You know what I think from that is his love was going to be able to extend to Paul right on through with that. There were some verses where it says, and I'd like to look at those. Paul was able to do something with what came to him. Romans 8 and 18. This is what Paul was able to say. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can you imagine that? No matter what comes into your life, whatever trouble it is, we can have the testimony that Paul has. I reckon. You know, I've been able to get a vision of something. God's love extends out into something called heaven. He made this earth a beautiful place. If he made this for me to enjoy for a few years, what did he make for us to enjoy for eternity? I go to prepare a place for you. I think Paul got a vision of that. Well, I know he got a vision of it. You remember he was saying because of that revelation, that vision that he got of paradise, he felt like that's why the thorn in the flesh had come to him, so that he would not be exalted above measure. So he could see that as God's love being able to be sent to him. So he also has another over in 2 Corinthians 4. And in this one, I think this is a good one for us to look at, because he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. And you know what? Ours is perishing day by day. The older we get, we start feeling it. It starts showing up. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And it says, look at this, our light affliction, no matter what is happening to us, like Paul, we could say our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know what? We're saying God loves me. He's sending some things to me. They're but for a moment, but they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen, they're temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so we find over in Colossians 3 and 1, if you then be risen with Christ, let's start seeking those things above. We'll be able to see God's love for us when he sends things my way that seem like it's a lot of trouble. If it helps me to make heaven my home, I'm going to be able to say God is love. He has allowed that for me. So there is still a part of God's love, and we won't talk about it today, that is more than the sun rises and the sun sets. And we see it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know what? His love extended to being willing to send Jesus. And it's hard for me to imagine what that involved. I cannot see tomorrow. I cannot see 1 minute from now. God could see all the way out to how Jesus was going to be treated, how he was going to give his life, and he would be willing to do that because surely there'll be someone who will be willing to accept it. That's God's love being shown. He was willing and Christ was willing. Both were willing to do that so that I can make heaven my home. And the world around us, as we look at it, we can say, you know what? It seemed like it's drifting fast. And yet tomorrow if God's willing, we'll see another beautiful sunrise come up. To be a reminder to everyone that'll look, I love you. I'm sending another good one for you. Tonight, we might see as the sun goes down a beautiful sunset. Let's don't let it just go down and not see God's love to all mankind. He didn't do it to where you can only see this if you're a Christian. No, he made it for everyone to be able to see. And he did the same thing for salvation. It's available to everyone. We'll hear every once in a while someone say, there's a select group of people that's going to make heaven their home. You know what? I read in the Bible where it says, whosoever will, let him come. Time after time I see it. We all get to make a choice, and that is the love of God. So I'd like to close, if we could sing number 484. This songwriter, he was trying to, how would you describe the love of God? He tried, and to us it seems like, boy, that's a big imagination he had. But I think he may have only scratched the surface. The love of God is greater far than tongue or ink pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. It's able to reach to any person that is willing to accept it. Maybe we can stand and sing number 484. And through this next week, let's look around us. God gave us a whole lot of things, just in temporal things, to recognize the love of God.